Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
I would like to speak to you today from 1 Peter chapter 1. If you would like to look with me at 1 Peter chapter 1, our text will be the last two verses of this chapter. And verse 24 begins with the word for. That's the first word of verse 24. For, F-O-R, for. That word means because. Because. Now, hold on to that for just a second, okay? Because. That word for means because. Everything that the Apostle Peter has written in this chapter, in 1 Peter chapter 1, every word of it is wonderful news. It's all wonderful news because. For. Verse 24 goes on to say, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. In verse 2, Peter said that God's people are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. He declared the election of all the people of God, all the chosen people of God, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience in the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. The Father chose a people, the Spirit set them apart, and Christ shed His blood on every single one of them. And that's wonderful news, to hear that God would choose a people and that the Spirit would do this and the blood would redeem them. That's wonderful news. Because. Verse 24 says, all flesh is grass. That's all it is. It's all grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. This is the gospel, which is preached unto you and unto me. In verse 3, Peter declared God's abundant mercy and our lively hope. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again, given life to us again, unto a lively hope, or a living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In verse 4, he told us about an incorruptible inheritance. Completely incorruptible. He said it's reserved in heaven for all those, verse 5 says, who are kept by the power of God. Every soul that God keeps by His power has this incorruptible inheritance. In verse 18, he told us of our redemption. He told us who redeemed us and what He redeemed us with. Verse 18 says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. That's what we were redeemed with. The precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He told us that in spite of the fact that we died in sin, man fell into sin, and that sin brought death. But in spite of that, he said in verse 23, we've been born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And all of that is wonderful news. Everything he said throughout this chapter is wonderful news. Because, verse 24 says, all flesh is as grass. This is glorious, glorious news. Because all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. This is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you and preached unto me. You know, the message of God's sovereignty, that means he's in control. That means God is God. The message of God the Father choosing a people to save because he's God, the sovereign God. The message of God the Son redeeming those particular people. Redeeming a particular people on purpose. And the message of God the Spirit irresistibly calling those people, not giving them a choice on whether or not they want to be saved. If God the Father chose them and if Christ shed his blood, they're going to be saved. They are saved and the Spirit is going to call them to God. That message, that sovereign message is the sweetest, most loving, most kind, most welcoming, including message that has ever been told. The message of God choosing a people to save, Christ dying for those particular people, that is the exact opposite of an excluding message. God choosing whom he will, that is the exact opposite. It's the exact opposite of God being hard and denying salvation, excluding men and women from salvation. Not only is it the most including message that has ever been told, it's the only including message that has ever been told. It's the only one. The message that puts the sovereignty in man's hands, meaning the message that puts the power, the message that puts the decision in man's hands, the message of man having the final say, man earning his own salvation, that message actually produces no acceptance at all. There's no acceptance at all in that message. No one is included in God's favor when man brings his own works to God, when man brings his own decision to God. No one is included in God's love. No one is included in God's kindness through the things that man does, through any work that man produces. And this is the reason why. This is the reason we know that that is so. Verse 24 in 1 Peter chapter 1 says, all flesh is as grass. All flesh is as grass. And all the glory of man, all of the goodness of man, all everything that man thinks he has to offer to God, is as the flower of grass. What happens to the flower of grass? It springs up and it withers. The grass withereth. The flower thereof falleth away. It dies. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. Man cannot do anything. Mankind, man, woman, cannot do anything other than wither and fall away. That's all he can do. But God, in his tender mercy, chose to save some of that grass. He chose to have mercy on some of that grass. Grass that should have been cut down. Grass that should have been burned, cast into the oven. God, in his including mercy, he chose to preserve some of that grass. He didn't have to. He didn't have to do that. They didn't deserve it. They did nothing to deserve it. But the Father purposed to choose them. He purposed to include them. Christ purposed to die for them. The Spirit purposed to call them. And verse 25 says, "The word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." Whatever he said he will do, he will do. His word endures forever. This is the good news. This is the wonderful news. In spite of what we are, what are we? Grass. Nothing more than grass. What is grass worth? Really, what is the value of grass clippings? But in spite of what we are, in spite of the fact that we offer nothing to him, who God is and what he has done, that's the good news that is preached in the gospel. Now, those two verses of Scripture, they're quoting Isaiah chapter 40. And I'd like for us to spend the rest of our time in that chapter. If you'd like to turn with me to Isaiah 40, we'll see what he has to say here in some greater detail. Isaiah 40, verse 1 says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Now I have five things that I'd like for us to see in those 11 verses. Five points that I'd like for us to declare in this, and I want to go ahead and tell you what they are. Number one, there is a God. Number two, he has a people. Number three, who are his people? Number four, what has he commanded concerning his people? He said, cry to them. And number five, what shall I cry? All right, verse 1 says, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Point number one, there is a God. There is a God. It scares me to know that many, many people do not believe that there is a God. Many people do not believe that. They either don't believe that there's a God, or they believe that there is a God, they just don't truly believe that He's God, that He actually is God. They're not one bit afraid to go stand before Him. They're not afraid of the God with whom they have to do. They take no thought of His judgment concerning them. But they will. All men and women will, because there is a God. And not just a God, there is the God. There is one true and living God. And all of us are going to have to stand before Him. All of us. And this is what's going to happen when we do. Verse 3 says, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Prepare ye the way of the Lord." Jehovah God, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, the Almighty. That's who we're dealing with, the one who is seated on the throne, reigning and ruling over all things, doing as He pleases among the armies of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, "What doest thou?" None. Verse 3, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." The God is our God. He is the God over us, and our God is coming quickly. He's coming very quickly. Make straight in the desert a highway, because He is coming quickly. And when we meet Him, verse 4 says, "Every valley shall be exalted." Everything that man believes is hidden down in the low spots. Everything down in the secret places, down in the shadows, secret sins. Sins that man believes are hidden. Man believes no one else can see, hidden even from God. Sins in the mind, sins in the heart. God says every one of them are going to be brought up. All of them, brought out into the open for all to see. Our God said in the book of Revelation, the books are going to be opened. Everything will be recorded, all the secret sins of our mind, our heart, everything is going to be opened up for all to see. Verse 4 says, "And every mountain and hill shall be made low," all pride, the pride that sin brings, all the arrogance, all the self-righteousness, all of the self-worthiness, everything and everyone that is puffed up before God is going to be cut down. That's what's going to happen when we stand before the great judge. Verse 4 says, "And the crooked shall be made straight." Some of you are woodworkers, I'm sure. And you take a board and you run it down a table saw, or you run it through a joiner. What are you doing? You're cutting off all the crooked. You're making the crooked straight. Spiritually speaking, what does God say is crooked? Anything that's not in line with His Word. It's all going to be cut off. Verse 4 says, "The rough places plain." Again, you run a piece of wood through a planer, you run it through a sander. What are we doing? We're cutting off all the rough places, making it smooth. Spiritually speaking, what does God say is rough? Anything that goes against the grain of His Word. He said, make straight a highway. Get ready. Get ready, because the God is coming. He's coming. And verse 4 says, every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, the crooked shall be made straight, the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. There is a God. There is a God. But listen to this. He has a people. This is such good news. He has a people. Again, verse 1 says, comfort ye, my people. Comfort my people. If you're looking at this with me, if you have your Bible open, do you see how it says at the end of verse 7, surely the people is grass. The people and my people. Two different people. The Lord has put a difference. He's made a difference. He said in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17, come out from among them and be ye separate. He said in John 17, my people are not of this world. He said, I pray for them. I pray not for the world. Over in Exodus chapter 11, that's where he said, I'm going to bring my people out of Egypt. I'm going to bring Israel out of Egypt. And when they come out, a dog is not even going to bark at them. Nothing is going to move their tongue at my people, that all of Egypt may know how I've put a difference. I've put a difference. There is a God. He has a people. Now, who are His people? Well, in verse 2, there are six words in this verse that tell us who His people are. Her warfare, it says. Her iniquity, it says. Her sins. Listen to it. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. His people are a people who struggle with and they are fighting a warfare of iniquity and sin, just laden with iniquity and sin. That's His people. Is that you? Is that me? Burdened with iniquity and sin? This is so important. Let me show you something in Luke chapter 5. Luke 5 verse 27. It says, after these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. And he left all, rose up and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I did not come to call the righteous. The righteous are those who see themselves to be right before God. That's who the righteous are, the self-righteous. Those who assume that they're saved because of what they see in themselves and what they see themselves do before God. That's a lot of people. A lot of people see themselves in that light. Pharisees are those who assume that they're righteous in God's eyes because of their own doing. But that's not what God's people assume. Not at all. God's people hear His voice when He said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. And they cry, I'm lost.
I'm a sinner. You came to save sinners, and I'm a sinner. And that's our evidence of being one of His people. If He ever makes us truly lost, if He ever reveals the warfare we endure over iniquity and sin, this man receives sinners. There's a God. He has a people. Who are His people? True sinners. What has God commanded concerning His people? He said, cry to them. Cry to them. He said in verse 9, Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. Jerusalem that brings good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Be not afraid. Cry to them. Declare the word of the Lord. It's going to stand forever. Preach the word to them. Thus saith the Lord, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come. He will come. Verse 10 says, behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and His arm shall rule for Him. His reward is with Him. His work is before Him. He shall save His people from their sins. He shall come, and He will accomplish everything He purposed to accomplish. He will shed His blood. He will give His life. He will redeem them back to God. In verse 2, it says, speak comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. Her iniquity is pardoned, for she's received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Now, what is our response to that? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord. Shed your blood on me. That's the response of every child of God. That is good news. And I need for you to shed your blood on this sinner right here. May God cause every single one of us to cry out to Him for mercy. Till next week, the Lord bless His word to our hearts.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, log on to our website at ksgctn.org. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next week for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.